it's good to see you all this morning as we worship together. I was just thinking as Sally was playing the prelude, none of the rest of you have probably done this, but one day last week I was having a griping party. And it wasn't about anybody, so don't anybody wonder if it was you, because it wasn't any people. But I was having a griping party because the main thing was we were walking into Publix, and I was trying to get my mask on. Man, I don't know if y'all realize this about me, but I have this allergy. I'm allergic to cold weather. And so I was trying to get my mask on. I was trying to put it under my stocking hat. I was trying to make sure I didn't drop my glasses. And I told her, I said, I am sick and tired of these masks. She said, well, everybody is. And, you know, it was just one example of probably the frustration we've all experienced at one time or another. And I got over it. But then as Sally was playing the song, God Will Take Care of You, I think that's something that all of us Christians need to consciously be reminded of. God will take care of us, even in all of this aggravation and for too many families, loss of life due to it. And then in a minute I noticed, as Sally was playing, I looked at the order of worship and Putt's going to be singing in just a moment if I ever hush. Oh God, our help in ages past. And something I'm always reminded of when I remember, when I see like that title, God has helped us all the way through our lives. He's not going to drop us now. Whatever we're going through besides this pandemic, God's not going to drop us. It may not be fun. It may not work out the way we want it to in the moment. But God's not going to drop us. God's been our help in ages past, and God will take care of us. So let us come together now and worship God's most holy name. Gracious and loving Lord, you are here with us. And so we pray that as we know you are here, we pray our hearts and minds are in such a place that you receive our thanksgiving and praise. And we will receive whatever message it is that you would convey to us. As we proceed, we do pray that this service is pleasing to your sight and hearing, and that it strengthens your people. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.
It is not enough to go to God, to turn things over to God, only when we need Him, only when we are in trouble. We have to plan ahead. We have to build that solid rock, which is Jesus Christ, build that relationship with Him. So our litany this morning is based on that hymn, My hope is built on nothing less. Let's join together. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the Swedish frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name.
On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand.
His oath, his covenant, his blood supports me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay.
On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand.
When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand.
As we share our joys and concerns this morning and go to the Lord in prayer, Sally and I do have a praise that her procedure went as hoped and that she is doing well, and glad, of course, that she's here with us this morning. And then Jack Warren has returned home, so we are glad for them in that, and pray that the recuperation they do at home continues to help. And we do remember Alice this morning. Alice will be having knee replacement surgery Tuesday. And so remember Alice. Are there joys or concerns that should be expressed that were not? If not, let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, we do come and we first of all praise your most precious and holy name. We praise you that you love us. We praise you that though you are all-powerful, mighty, that you created everything from the smallest particle to the largest planet, any universe that exists is your creation. And yet, Lord, you saw us, you created us. We rebelled against you. We so often still continue to think that we know better. Yet in your grace, through Jesus Christ, you paid the price of our rebellion, of our sin. And if we'll just trust in you, you assure us of eternal life with you. Lord, you love each one of us as if you did not create anyone or anything else, and you love every human being with that intensity. And so, Lord, we just praise your holy name, and we just pray that somehow we could grasp just a fraction of that. For if we could grasp just a fraction of that realization, we would realize with full assurance that you have been our help in ages past. You are our hope for years to come. And so, Lord, we pray that we will continue to praise you in the joys, in the frustrations, and the challenges of life. We thank you, Lord, as always, for we never, ever want to forget what a privilege it is to worship you in the freedom that we do. What a privilege it is to be in a nation where we are free to express, even when those expressions go against our grain. And Lord, as we experience that freedom, may we never become so used to it that we take it for granted. And may we never forget those who stand in the gap between us and those who would take that freedom away. May your protection be upon those who protect us in civilian and in military roles. May your healing be upon the wounded, the visible wounds of the body and the invisible wounds of the heart, mind, and soul. And may your peace be upon the families whose loved ones gave it all. And Lord, you know our prayer list. You know we praise you for those who have improved, whose procedures went well, who have returned home. We pray for Alice as she has surgery Tuesday. Pray that the surgery itself is flawless and that the recuperation is speedy. And Lord, you know the many other names that are both printed and upon our hearts. May your healing touch be upon each one according to your will and your wisdom. And Lord, we do thank you for the fellowship of Christians that gathers, serves, studies, and worships through Walker Church. You have blessed us in so many ways. We pray that we will, as we receive your blessings, that we indeed individually and as a congregation will be a blessing to this community and even the world. And Lord, remind us that when we leave these grounds, you will be as present with us through all of life as you are in this room right now. Lead, guide, and direct our every thought, word, and deed, and bring us back to worship you and to encourage each other. We offer our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, who told us to say when we would pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Most gracious and loving Lord, you first blessed your people beyond all measure, and now we bring back a portion of those gifts back to you. We pray that your blessings will continue upon each gift and giver, and that you will guide us as a congregation, that every penny that has been entrusted is used according to your will to further your kingdom in this community and throughout the world. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen. Scripture lesson this morning is Genesis chapter 9, verses 8 through 17. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "As for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Few occurrences bring out the childlike wonder in most people as does the sighting of a rainbow. The most rushing and busy person is often momentarily, perhaps, but still captivated by the sight. Of course, the rainbow can be explained. The rain simply acts as a prism, separating the sun's rays so that the individual rays of light become visible. But have you ever noticed something about a rainbow? For all of the excitement a rainbow can cause, the rainbow doesn't make a sound. Yet it's this silent miracle shouts its testimony. Our souls and our emotions, even if only for a moment, are lifted. Every time I see a rainbow, I'm reminded that God is still in control. God is still in control of this universe, and God will always take care of us. Every time we see the rainbow, God is saying to us, I love you and I will not let the storms of life overwhelm you. It's been said, into everyone's life, a little rain must fall. Now, granted, some have dealt with passing showers, maybe even a thunderstorm, while others have had to deal with hurricanes. But to some degree, everybody deals with the storm. And sometimes the storms feel like they were never in, particularly when multiple storms seem to come one right after the other in rapid succession. Noah must have felt like the storm would never end. Have you ever tried to put yourself in Noah's place? I imagine he wondered if this thing would ever end, as if he would ever leave the ark, as it floated aimlessly for 150 days. Rounding it off, that's 5 months. 5 months floating around aimlessly. Now, God might have known exactly where he was going to park the boat, but Noah didn't. So as far as Noah was concerned, he's floating aimlessly on this water with all of these animals, no land in sight, for 5 long months. I hope the family got along where they had their separate quarters. The ark finally came to rest on dry land, and Noah and his family were finally able to exit. And when they did, God promised Noah that the entire earth would never be destroyed by flood again, and as a sign of that promise, he put the bow in the cloud. Now, as much as we can be captivated by a rainbow, it's difficult for us in the 21st century to comprehend the magnitude of this promise to Noah, because we also cannot comprehend the fear that Noah must have experienced. Because, you see, we're familiar with weather systems. Now, we can't control them, obviously. But they're not as great a mystery as they once were. Even though we can do nothing but run and take measures to protect property, hurricanes can be tracked on radar weeks ahead of time, and to a reasonable degree, the time and location of landfall can be forecasted. Though it's a smaller window through which to respond through various types of radar now, tornadoes can be traced and reasonably timed. giving us more time to take cover. We've all seen the pictures from space of the Earth from pictures from spacecraft and satellites, and we've seen weather patterns and process. It's not as big a mystery as it used to be. For the ancients, it was a far different concept. The ancients understood the earth to be flat, and then a cover over it to cover the earth. It's kind of like a cake pan. Picture a cake pan on a pedestal, because they believed the earth was supported by pillars. Picture a cake pan on a pedestal. You've got the flat pan, the flat plate. That's the earth. And you've got the little cup. You've got the cover setting on top of the plate. That's a very close picture of the ancients' mindset of what the earth was. And so, to the ancient, you had this flat earth with this dome covering it. They believed the sun literally went across the earth. They believed that the stars were literally hung on the dome. They believed that water was surrounded the earth, that water was kept back from coming up the waters below by this flat earth, and they believed that the waters from all around in space were kept at bay by this dome that was on top of them. This concept was that massive amounts of water were trying to crash in, but this dome and this earth kept all this water at bay. With that mindset, here again, Genesis 7, 11, and 12. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, on that day, all the fountains of the deep burst forth. And the windows of the heavens were open, and the rain fell in on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. So for the ancient, when the water started coming up and the water started coming down, it's like if you were in this trap and the water was just going to swallow you up. Can you imagine the terror they must have felt as it appeared to them that all this water from below and from above and from beside was now crashing in? God placing the rainbow in the cloud as a sign of God's promise to never destroy the earth by flood again was a powerful word and sign of assurance. In the future, Noah would see clouds again. In the future, Noah would see rain again. But he could count on God to remember God's promise. Many days are bright and sunny, and we treasure every one. It's nice to see the sun coming through the stained glass this morning, isn't it? Many days are bright and sunny, and we treasure each one. Yet sometimes the clouds become so dark and the storm becomes so fierce, it seems the sun will never shine again. 99.9% of the reported news is dark. Between natural disasters, crime, accidents, and a pandemic, one's very cautious about leaving the house. And that doesn't even mention the issues of just living day to day. It can become quite easy to be overwhelmed attempting to navigate all of the negatives of all of the storms raging around us and maybe even in us. It's in those times in particular that I look to the rainbow. Even though all of the specifics of life do not work out to my pleasure, or even if I view them as completely unfair, through the rainbow that God places in my heart, I can be at peace. When all appears to be chaos, God reminds us that there is still a stability in this life that we can count on. God is still in control, and in God's time, God's ultimate will be accomplished. In the meantime, God calls us to a life of confidence, assurance, courage, and hope, because the storms of life will not be allowed to drown us if we cling to our faith. And notice something else about this promise, which is actually a covenant that God made with all living things. It is a one-sided covenant. Normally, when we read of covenants in the Bible between God and God's people, Israel, normally a covenant, overly simplified, is if Israel is faithful to God, God will be faithful to Israel. But this event, of course, is even before Abraham. God made a one-sided covenant with all living things. God made the commitment, and God placed the bow in the cloud as a sign of that covenant. But is that not so typical of how God relates to us? One of the most loved verses of the Bible. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him may not perish but have eternal life. But, slow down and read that verse. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, so that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. As Jesus is having this conversation with Nicodemus, God is well aware of the sin of humanity. Yet God loves us so much that Jesus suffered and died to atone for our sins. And what is required of us? Trust in God's grace. God's grace, God's unmerited love and salvation is completely one-sided. In this covenant, humanity has everything to gain and God has everything to lose. Yet God's love is so strong, God paid the price so that we now receive all of the benefits of salvation in relationship with God. And one poet has described God as, quote, the hound of heaven pursuing us through the corridors of time, end quote. God never stops loving us. God never stops seeking our salvation. The analogy is that of, and I'm not a hunter, but I've seen dogs when they get their scent on something. The analogy is that of God seeking our salvation with the determination of a hound dog pursuing the scent regardless of where it leads. God loves us and God pursues us regardless. And God's love is unconditional. It is not dependent on our response. Now let me be clear, our eternal destiny is dependent on our response. But God's love for us is not. God's love is unwavering. We may be faithful or we may be rebellious, but God loves us regardless. When a person becomes a parent, they enter a one-sided covenant. Whether spoken or not, we make a covenant that we will love, nurture, protect, and provide for that child. We make a covenant that we will always love them. When they are grown, they make their choice of whether or not they will adopt the values we try to teach them. They make the choice of whether or not they will continue to love us. They make the choice of whether or not they will continue to relate to us. If they do, we are blessed. If they don't, our hearts break. But our love does not end. So it is with God. When God put the rainbow in the cloud, God made a one-sided covenant. God's promise to never destroy the earth by flood again was not dependent on humanity's response to God. And then God extended that promise through the suffering and death of Jesus, paying for our sins and enabling us to receive salvation and eternal life. Paul went so far as to say in Romans that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So every time we see a rainbow, I hope we are inspired. I hope we are inspired by the assurance that regardless of the storm, God is in control. And God will not let the storm overwhelm us. I hope that we are inspired by being reminded of how much God loves us. And in that assurance, we will be motivated to offer ourselves more fully to our Lord and Savior. Let us pray. Our most gracious Lord, thank you for the sign of your promise. The bow you put in the cloud, and then the cross upon which Jesus died. Lord, thank you that your gift to us was initiated by you, and you took all of the chances. You made the full investment, and we reap the benefit. Gracious Lord, you know each one in this room, and you know our congregation. You know the condition of the nation and the world. It's been a stormy time. But Lord, you have not gone anywhere. And Lord, we can't profess, or at least I can't profess to enjoy the storm or even to be glad in the storm. But Lord, I am so thankful that I trust that you are always in it. And in your wisdom and in your timing, you send your rainbows to remind us of your presence. So gracious Lord, whatever each person associated with Walker, even the nation, even the world, is contending with, send them your blessing. Send them your peace. Send them your symbols and your signs that you are there, that your strength is theirs. And even if the storm lasts a long time, you will never leave. So Lord, help us even in the midst of the storm to be persons of peace, hope, and assurance because of you, God of love, grace, peace, and power, who never leaves. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen. And would you please stand for our benediction? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of His Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. Amen.